And so there are divorces in our Christian world. And I thought I'd, which no news to you, I wanted to read to you from the introduction to a very good book written by a Marist priest, John Hosey, called Catholics, Divorce and Remarriage, written in 1990. And he has this to say about divorce. I hope it's sensitive enough to those of you who are divorced, and you'll tell me if it's not, but it seemed to me a lovely way of putting it, a truthful way of putting it. He says, divorce is about and failure, but it can also be about victory and success. It is about pain and grief, but also about healing and forgiveness and peace. It is about rejection. It can also be about acceptance. It's about the loss of hopes and the end of dreams. It can also be about new life, new hopes, new dreams. He's writing as a Christian priest, by the way, and a good man. Well, this is, I'd have to say, it makes sense to me, so it's not a maverick statement. This is central. Often it is about continuing grief over children who are always separated from one parent or another and who doubt that they are part of a family anymore. It can also be about pride in children who are more mature and more together than their peers, and about single-parent homes which are more united, more peaceful, more loving than many two-parent homes. In a word, divorce is about death, but it can also be about resurrection. He goes on, it seems incredible to me that any Christian church could fail to see Christ in the divorced. And yet I am aware that one of the greatest pains for Catholics who are divorced has been the message that they've received that there's no place for them in the Catholic Church. In trying to maintain its commitment to the ideal which Jesus Christ put before us, the indissolubility of marriage, we lost sight of the reality. All of us fail. All of us need pardon. All of us need forgiveness. It was to the outcast, to people who had failed, that Christ offered his special love and compassion. He showed little respect for the Pharisees. When we as a church have made outcasts of people who may be more the victims of divorce than its champions, who are the Pharisees? What Christ offered to us by his word and example was the promise that we, too, can overcome death as he did. We can live again and love again. And finally, I want to read to you from another book by Kevin Kelly called Divorce and Second Marriage. And he claims there are certain challenges facing the Christian communities today, and the last two are the ones I'll share with you. He says in that book, Divorce and Second Marriage, a challenge there is to the church to recognize that it is marriage breakdown itself which goes counter to the oneness in communion in which we reflect and share in the life of God himself. It's not the legal divorce, nor even the second marriage. These both come afterwards. What is really against oneness in communion in marriage is the slow, corrosive process by which the relationship gradually deteriorates and finally dies altogether. To the extent that the church recognizes this, she'll be able to concentrate her efforts, that's our efforts, on the educational, supportive, and remedial work needed to sustain fidelity in marriage. and she will not feel the same need to penalize those who've been unfortunate enough to have lost this pearl of great price, whether through their own fault or through fault of circumstances beyond their full control. And finally, there's a challenge to the couples to recognize that growth in fidelity will only normally occur through phases of crisis. And that in a very special way, in their marriage, each will have to live the gospel invitation of losing self to find the true self. Surely that's the key. This inner conviction of faith that the cross which leads to new life will be experienced within marriage should provide the inner strength and conviction to keep going in times of darkness. So, maybe I don't need to, but I feel the need to try to sum some of that up. Lawyers come to Jesus in a male world where men have decided the grounds that they have in divorcing their wives. Jesus just finishes that off. That's dead. Just dismisses it entirely. No doubt angrily too. And says, what on earth are you talking about? We're talking here about a love relationship. Not about a legal male rights. And Jesus talks about that love relationship as graced. We've come to see it as a sacrament. Meaning that every time the husband loves the woman that he said, I will love you and honor you for the rest of my days, then God is loving her through him. The state is a sacrament. Every time the woman loves her husband, forgives, gratitude, all the ways you express love, then that's grace is flowing through that, what God has put together. So Jesus is saying, listen to the grace and stop organizing yourself on petty legal grounds. However, that has always been understood, no doubt by Jesus himself, of course, but by Paul and by the church ever since, different cultures, different ways, but you've got to look at the relationship. People make mistakes, so we have annulments and we have all this to look back over to see what's going on here. Maybe it broke down because it never got going. Maybe with the best will in the world, two people said, I love you, but they weren't able to. They made a mistake in what they did. And to go on compounding the mistake when it's clearly destructive and losing peace, that's not what Christianity is about, nor God's about. God hasn't bound them together, however hard they might have tried. So we have to be very discerning in that and very gentle, and people have to face the truth, don't we, of our lives, like I have to in my priesthood and everyone has to in different ways of life. We have to look at it in the light of grace with enormous help, please God, and hope, and an assumption, a basic assumption, that where there's marriage, there is grace. But if it's seen that actually there isn't, because we're not able to receive it, that has to be faced too. And if people face that in conscience and separate, who on the earth has the right to think they know better than those people? So the most we can do, the best we can do, is do what Jesus would surely do, is embrace people who've been through so much pain, so much heartburn, so much failure, so much difficulty with family and all that, that they've been through, and now they are broken perhaps at the end of it. God, they need love. And if the Christian community doesn't love them, we're not worth a crumpet. And they need communion, and they need acceptance, and they need trust. Because their conscience decisions, says our church, and says every church, their conscience decision is so sacred before God. Let us support it, trust it, and envelop them in love. And surely Jesus will do that. And to take Jesus' words that I've quoted to you today out of context and make them a great absolute that we boom down on everybody, whatever the facts of their relationship, would be to be on the side of the Pharisees, not on the side of Jesus.